Welcome to the Dialogue Project Podcasts.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
As often as I can, I rehearse what I'm going to say.
Right, so grab a seat, doesn't matter which one this is.
Okay.
Hello.
10.
Spontaneous. So, how we start this is by you saying your name.
Over and over.
Then counting to 10.
I don't go, you know, extreme with anyone, no. Yeah. But they just feel the, that I care.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Because I do.
I don't regret it.
Should I say my name first?
Yes, please.
Okay. One.
You go to space, you look at the Earth, and you cry.
If we didn't ask questions, then we wouldn't go on.
To change your personal options,
listen to me.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
I find I'm saying things that I feel are quite magical, really.
It was a very beautiful thing because he let me wash his hair.
One.
My name is Carl James, and today I want to share with you a conversation that I had a while ago, but it's a conversation that stayed with me. And it stayed with me for a couple of reasons. More about that in a second. It's a conversation with a woman called Sandra.
I told Patty got 125. She said she didn't know why. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I came and bought...
Sandra is a New Yorker.
Okay.
As you can probably tell by her accent.
Could I talk to you for 2 minutes?
Absolutely. What do you want to say?
I'm from London, okay?
Sandra runs a post office, the Greenwich Village post office in New York, right next to NYU, and many of her customers are students, professors, and pretty much anyone else who works at one of the most famous universities in the world.
Can I buy an envelope, please?
Of course.
What is it?
Wants an envelope.
And I want to share this conversation for two reasons. The first reason is simply the sound of her voice.
Your voice is a character.
It is a character.
Do you not like your voice?
The truth of it is that I popped into her post office earlier on in the day and I could hardly believe the sound that came out of this woman's mouth.
It's just if I say hello, everybody knows where I've come from.
What's wrong with that?
No,
great.
I know.
I can remember being... just entranced, really, by the rich, musical, lyrical, luscious voice that I heard. The kind of voice that's just irresistible to listen to. And to be honest, it's the kind of voice you just have to record. It's too good to miss.
Wanted to record a few things?
Yeah, I mean, questions.
I don't mind. Oh, sure. That's
great.
Fine.
So, okay.
But the second reason I wanted to share the conversation is not so much about how Sandra sounds... it's about who she is. She's a fantastic woman. She has an incredible positive outlook on life and an energy that belongs to someone much younger than her years. She carries with her such warmth, such humour, and such vibrancy. And I love it when I meet people like that, particularly strangers. So I just had to go back later that day and have a conversation with her. And this is a short edit of that conversation, complete with all the sound texture of New York rattling and hissing away in the background. So, thank you, Sandra. Here's the conversation, and it's called If I Wasn't Optimistic.
What you're about to listen to is an edit created by the Dialogue Project, with the full permission of everyone involved in the conversation. If you can hear my voice clearly, the volume will be about right for you. Thank you for listening.
You make me feel so young.
See, I think New Yorkers are really kind, and people don't realize that.
And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual.
But the village, I don't know, for some reason, when I go uptown or I go downtown, you don't have that, like, more of a community.
Yeah.
There's more of a community here.
Yeah.
Because that's more, like, uptown is working people and downtown. It's so much more, I know, busy.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, maybe because I'm so used to the village, so when I go downtown, I feel really confused.
Yeah.
I really am.
Really? Even after all this time?
Yeah. And then when I went down there, like, a few months ago for my driver's license, I felt like crying because I got kind of lost down there. So I looked up, and I was looking for the Twin Towers. I said, oh my God. Oh, I'll just look up. I'll tell you the Twin Towers and I'll know where I am. And that made me cry.
You and I are just like a couple of tots.
So how do you feel about your grandchildren growing into this world then? Because I've got kids myself now, and it's...
To me, it's good. They have an easier life, of course, like with all the things that we have today. But also, I think it's a harder life, and there's too much, I think, pollution and whatever's going on in this world that nobody wants to stop.
Mm.
Because my mother is 92.
Is she?
And healthy. So that means something was right back there then. And things are not that right today.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's going to do anything, because the government, I don't care which government it is, does not care.
You make me feel so young.
Are you an optimistic person?
I have to be. Yeah, I have too many things that happen to me.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah. Really bad. My what son kind of died things? At 30.
Your son died at 30?
Aneurysm. I have to be. Otherwise, I don't even know how I'm standing here. And I just lost my husband after 42 years. I took care of him a long time. He had a stroke. And I really loved him. And I just lost him in November.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm telling you, if I'm not optimistic, I'd be dead. I'd be gone. It's too much death.
Yeah.
And well, especially my son. I mean,
at 30,
I my husband, he was sick. And I would that be on my mind because there were so many things wrong with him. But I never thought, that I would lose my son.
You just have one son?
And now I have a daughter, and thank God.
How's she doing?
She's the best. Well, she's good. She's doing all right. Yeah. This is my grandchildren.
Oh, look at them.
And I'm going...
What are their names?
Her name is Lauren.
Yeah.
And she kind of looks like me if you see her. Everybody
says
that.
She
I'm
does.
So proud of it.
Your eyes, look at that. Yeah.
And this
mouth.
Is my little cutie pie, Ryan. He's my... He thinks I'm a young kid. He wrestles with me. I said, what do you think I am? And then, they treat me like kids because I act like that. Okay. But they're other grandparents. I tell them, do you do this to your other grandparents? They tell me, no, we're afraid of them. I go, all right, thank you.
You seem so young. I mean, you've got so much energy about you.
I do have a lot of energy.
Where do you get that from?
I think my father was that type. I don't know. I am. And I used to multitask so much, but now I'm... Of course, getting older, so you can't.
Yeah,
I try to do it, but it doesn't work out. Like, I'm doing this, and then I want to do that. But then when I come back to this, I kind of forgot that.
Picking up lots of forget-me-nots. You make me feel so young.
And there was something like, I met so many interesting people along the way.
Here.
So even Tom Keneally.
Yeah.
That was the writer and all.
Yeah.
Like about 15 years ago, he was a professor at NYU.
Okay.
And the most wonderful people in the world to know.
Really?
Oh my God, there was like...
What was
like
he
talking
like?
To you. So personable. So, like, you, if he was standing here now, you have this enormous conversation.
Yeah.
Just a regular, the things that went on in the store.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years. I mean, yeah.
You've seen it all?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Have you traveled much out of...
I haven't, and I'm going to try to do a little bit now because of my situation with my husband.
Your husband, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to try to do a little bit now.
Did you travel with him? Did you travel out of the country?
No, because of his situation of being... He had a stroke.
Okay.
So
how old was he when he had a stroke?
55, young, and I was 47, so I was young.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I had enough energy like to take care of him. This is him. I think
let me see.
His picture might be... is it something over there? Unless we lost it. I don't see it. No, we had a frame up when the...
And you ran the business together, did you?
Well, I started the business. He worked for the telephone company, and then he retired. And then I had a small store in the next block. I'm doing it over 25 years.
Oh,
so
okay.
Then we moved here,
and
he was extremely handy, and he did, he did too much work.
He did almost
all things because of the money, the situation. Oh, he really did too much.
Yeah.
And that's when he stopped. But then a year later, 2 years later, is when he had a stroke. So, but I live in the neighborhood, as I said. So that's why I didn't have to give up the business.
Yeah.
It was all right. Like, we would go back and forth. And
sounds like you look after lots of people. Do you? Who looks after you now?
Nobody. No, not my daughter. Him.
Yeah.
I have a lot of loving people
around
me.
Yeah.
Really. And I'm so fortunate to have, extremely nice workers at this moment.
Yeah.
We didn't.
Okay.
In the past. We did and didn't.
Yeah, okay.
It was on and off.
Okay.
But I'm very fortunate now to have that. My husband loved him.
Oh, that's very nice.
This young fella right here. That's from Turkey. I bet they got a couple of them for Turkey extremely. Well, I think it's Mediterranean, a warm feeling.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
they just got like a real good friendship and all.
That's very nice. That's very nice.
And I do like helping. My husband was like that, so.
Yeah, it's in your nature.
I think it is, yeah.
That's it?
I'm like a mother figure, like with the students.
Yeah, really.
Like me.
They come, I can't.
And then my daughter wants to get me away from there, like sometimes even weighing on people because I'm ready to give discounts. You want a discount? Okay, you got it. She said, how are we paying the rent? Oh, it doesn't matter.
So you have lots of friends, but not as much money as you might have.
No,
I guess that's the right way around, isn't
it? Nothing. I have enough. Yeah. That it's all right for me. I mean, some people it's never enough. You could have, you know, the world, and it still wouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
You have to be happy in yourself.
Yeah.
If you're not happy with yourself, you're not happy at all in anything in life.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, really, that's it, I think.
Even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today. Cause you.
I think it's easier to feel sorry for yourself. They're not so.
Yeah.
That's my opinion of life.
Yeah.
You know, with people. To feel, you know, more. Oh, God.
Isn't life terrible?
Yeah. What is it going to do?
Yeah, it's not going to change
things.
This
is only one life we have, and you make what you want. And I know I went through a lot, but it's still.
You love life. I can tell you really. I mean, you are very alive as a person.
Oh, God. Thank you.
You make me feel. So
I really don't really socialize that much. People, hello, and how are you?
Well, you socialize in your work, don't you?
That's what. But they feel it. I don't have to. I don't go, you know, in extreme with anyone. No.
Yeah.
But they just feel the that I care.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Because I do.
My name is Carl.
You should write to me then. You're going to write?
Well, give me your address. I would love to drop your line.
Do I have a card here? What the hell? I have nothing now.
Here we are, Village
Postal. Give me my card and my thing. And give me your name and address.
Yeah, of course I will.
Thanks for listening.